Bury St. Edmunds, 22nd of November. Dear Professor Glopp, although we've never met, you dedicated a book to me once. To me, 13 of my schoolmates, and your daughter. This was more than 50 years ago, when I was young, and now I'm not. This business of being no longer young is occupying much of my mind these days, and I'm writing to you to see if you can help me make sense of some of the thoughts that occur to me. Or maybe I'm hoping that just writing will make sense of them, because I have little expectation that you will reply. For all I know, you may be dead. One of these thoughts is about plans never fulfilled. You know what I mean. If you're still alive, you must be a very old man by now, and it must have occurred to you that what you thought would happen when you were young never did. For example, you might have promised yourself you would try a sport, or a hobby, or an art or a craft, and now you find you've lost the physical dexterity or stamina to take it up. There will be reasons why you never did, but none of them is good enough. None of them is the clincher. You cannot say, I plan to take up oil painting, but I couldn't because I turned out to be allergic to a chemical in the paint. It is just that life goes on from day to day, and that one moment never arrives. In my case, I promised myself I would travel to Denmark and visit the Tollen man, and I've not. I know from the book you dedicated to me that only his head is preserved, not his beautiful hands and feet. But his face is enough. His face, as it appears on the cover of your book, is pinned up on my wall. I see it every day. Every day I am reminded of his serenity, his dignity, his look of wisdom and resignation. It is like the face of my grandmother, who was dear to me. I still live in East Anglia. And how far is it to the Silkeborg Museum? 600 miles as the crow flies. As far as Edinburgh and back. I've been to Edinburgh and back. All this is not the point, though it is puzzling. What is wrong with me that I've not made the so small effort needed when the face of the Tollen man is so central to my thoughts? It is cold in East Anglia, windy cold, and I've knitted myself a balaclava to keep my neck and ears and head warm when I walk the dog. As I pass the mirror in the hall on the way out of the door, I notice myself in profile, and I think how like my grandmother I've become. And being like my grandmother, my face has become the face of the Tollen man, the same hollowness of cheek, the same beakiness of nose. As if I'd been preserved for 2,000 years and am still continuing to be. Is it possible, do you think, that I belong, through whatever twisted threads, to the family of the Tollen man? I'm not trying to make myself special in any way, you understand. There must be other people of the family, thousands of them. I see other people of my age on buses, or walking their dogs, or waiting for their grandchildren to choose an ice cream from the van, who have the same contours to their faces, the same blend of peacefulness, humanity and pain. There are far more who have none of these things, though, whose faces are careless, or undefined, or pinched, or foolish. The truth is, I do want to be special. I want there to be significance in the connection made between you and me in 1964, and links back to the man buried in the bog 2,000 years ago. I'm not very coherent. Please do not bother to reply if you think I do not justify your time. Yours sincerely, T. Hopgood, Mrs.